Our reading is from the book of John, John 17, which can be found on page 765 of the Church Bibles. So John 17, starting at verse 1. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me wherever I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Well, do keep that passage open. There's an outline of where we're going in your service sheets. And as is usual here at Trinity, there'll be an opportunity at the end of the talk to make any comments and ask any questions if you would like. But before we go any further, let's pray and ask for God's help. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for sending your Son to reveal the Father, to reveal you to us, that we might know you as you really are. We thank you for your Holy Spirit and his work to renew our minds that we might think rightly about you. And so we pray now that your Spirit would indeed help us to know you better. As we consider this topic of who you are, please would he renew our minds, correct distorted thinking, and replace it with right thinking about you. Please would you help me to be clear, help us all to understand better the truth of your word and the implications for us today here in Bradford. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen. If you were here with us last week, we were thinking about who you should pray to. And one of the things that we noticed was how the mission of Jesus is very much centred on his Father. So back in chapter 16, 28, Jesus said, "I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father." And so it came as no surprise to us that the purpose of his coming and going, that is his death, resurrection, ascension, was to bring the disciples to the Father. And so in 16 verse 23, Jesus said, "In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." Jesus is going back to the Father, but the lasting joy of the disciples will be to know God the Father as their Father. So then that day, in Jesus' absence, they won't ask Jesus, but they will ask the Father. And so today, anyone who puts their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done on their behalf has the privilege of relating to God the Father as their Father. Now, here's the thing. One objection to presenting God to people as Father is that some people have had a negative experience of fatherhood. "I could never please my father. We never got on. He never said he loved me. He used to beat me. My father abused me. I hated my father." And the argument is that people who've had such a negative experience with their fathers are going to struggle if we ask them to relate to God as Father. And actually, we live in a society where families are increasingly fragmented, and so this objection is only going to get worse. It's only going to be amplified as an increasing number of people experience bad experiences of fatherhood. Now, for some, their fathers were absent. Whether he left the family, or whether he was always away with work all the time, or he died at an early age. And the concern then is that for people who never really knew their father, father just is a bit meaningless. You know, to say God is Father doesn't really mean anything. So that God remains very much unknown. And so it's argued, you can't expect people to relate to God as Father if they've had such experiences. Well, in those cases, could we not suggest that people think of God in more positive ways? For example, if people had a more positive experience with their mother, could we not think of God the mother? Or if someone has had no positive experience with other humans, would it not be safer just to stick with the term God? Now, I'm aware that such an objection is very emotive, and it can stir all kinds of emotions in us, and you may well be feeling emotional now. And so before we go any further, I do want us to acknowledge that the question of evil and suffering in the world is a very real one and remains so today. And although we want to acknowledge this, we shouldn't feel obliged to accept uncritically what has been suggested. Now, the assumption behind the objection is that to call God Father is to define God by our own human experience of fatherhood. That is, we project our experience of fatherhood onto God. So that if our experience of our father was that he was cruel, then we'll project that onto God and think that God the Father is cruel. Or if our experience of our father was one of absence, then we will project onto God and think of God the Father as absent. Or we might become weighed down by great guilt and anxiety that we cannot be acceptable to our Heavenly Father because we were never sure if we were acceptable to our earthly father. And we'll especially feel this if our human father tended to judge us by our achievements. Now, note that this problem is not really solved by using a different word for God, like mother or just God. Because whatever word we use, it's still very much us projecting our human experience, even if it's a good one, onto God. And to be honest, can we really expect an approach like that to tell us what God is truly like? Now, at this point, I think it's fair to acknowledge that there is a tendency for us to project our experience of fatherhood onto God. That we do tend to think of our own experience with our father and think that that is the way that we relate to God the Father. If you like, we can think that God's fatherhood is human fatherhood sort of thrown onto the screen of heaven and given infinite dimensions. But although there's a tendency for us to do this, it's not necessary. There is another way. And that is to know God the Father as revealed by God the Son. See, God is not defined by our human experience of fatherhood. Rather, it is God the Son who reveals God the Father to us. Or more simply, it is the Son who reveals the Father. And this is what we've been seeing in John's Gospel in recent weeks. Jesus is the Son who has come to reveal the Father. And it's the relationship that Jesus has with the Father that informs the way that we're to understand God as Father. And it's here in John 17 that we have a particularly marvellous glimpse of the Son's relationship with the Father. Please turn with me to it, if you're not there already. John 17, it's on page 765 of the Church Bibles. John 17 is a prayer that the Son prays to the Father. And it's not God talking to himself. I mean, some of us do talk to ourselves. Yeah, anyone here talk to themselves? I would often do that. And it can be a helpful way. Is that a hand up? Yes. Okay. And it can be a helpful way to process information. But that's just not what Jesus is doing here. Have a look at chapter 17, verse 1. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father. There are two persons here. It is God the Son speaking to God the Father. And this prayer of the Son has been recorded for our benefit so that we would know God as he really is. Now, notice that we're not thinking of God's fatherhood in terms of his relationship as creator to humanity. So it's true, God is the creator of the whole world including everyone in it. But that's not what the Bible means when it speaks of fatherhood. So God's fatherhood doesn't come because of his relationship with the world, but rather it comes from his eternal relationship with the Son. Do you see that? So in other words, the Father is first and foremost the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it's kind of rooted. And this is hugely significant because unless the whole concept of fatherhood is corrected, we will almost inevitably project onto God the father we have loved or missed, have desired or resented. And our adult spiritual life will be secretly controlled by our reactions to our early family life. And for some, we'll be held captive to feelings of neglect, guilt, and fear. And so rather than project our experience of fatherhood onto God, the Bible maintains that it is the Son, it's the Son who reveals the Father. Well, what then does he reveal? Well, he reveals that the Father gives to the Son. The relationship between the Father and Son is characterized by generous giving. Now, the prayer itself in John 17 is split into three sections. I sort of notice they're quite sort of natural units. So the first section in verses 1 to 5, the Son prays for himself. The second section in verse 6 to 19, he prays for the disciples. And the third section in verse 20 to 26, he prays for future believers. But the thing that's striking throughout the prayer is how the Son talks about how his Father has given to him as the Son. At least 13 times in this chapter, Jesus makes reference to what the Father has given him. In other words, the way the Father relates to the Son is characterized by giving. Let me show you a few examples. Six, in fact. First, the Father gives the Son authority. Have a look at verse 2. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. See at the beginning there? For you granted him authority. That's the Father granting the Son authority. And Jesus is talking here about how the Father has given him rule over all humanity. Second, the Father gives work for the Son to do. Verse 4. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Jesus is talking here about how his death, resurrection, and ascension mission was given him by the Father. Third, the Father gives people to the Son. Verse 6. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Jesus is talking here about how the Father has given the Son, the disciples, to him. Fourth, the Father gives words to the Son to teach. Verse 8, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. Jesus is talking here about how he has revealed what his Father has given him. You're getting the idea. Now, one thing you could do is, I mean, one of the ways I think the Bible kind of rubs into us what the idea is by repeating ideas. And if you were to go through John 17 and circle all the times the Father gives to the Son, you would get that sort of impression. Now, please don't mark the church Bibles. They want a set of circled John 17s. But if you bring your own Bible, you can sort of do that. But very much give, 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 give. This is the relationship of the Father to the Son. Two more then. Fifth, the Father gives a name or power to the Son. So verses 11 and 12. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Jesus is talking here about the protective power that his Father gave him and asks that it be extended to all believers. And then sixth, the Father gives glory to the Son. Verse 24. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Jesus is talking here about the glory that he has always been given by the Father because he is eternally loved as the Father's Son. Do you see? The way the Father relates to the Son is characterized by giving. And it's not just the Father gives the Son a bit. His giving is prolific. There's a generosity to the Father's giving. Authority, work, people, words, power, glory. The Father's giving to the Son is extensive. He is a generous giving Father. Now, an assumption here, of course, is that all of these things are the Father's to give. Unless they belong to the Father, he isn't able to give them. You can't give what isn't yours. And so it's not just that God the Father is a giving Father, but he is also a sovereign Father. The Father doesn't say to the Son, if I had it, I'd give it to you. Rather, everything belongs to him. And therefore, he is able to generously give to his Son. We began by considering an objection to God being Father. And it was argued that calling God Father inevitably means that we project our human experience of fatherhood onto God. Okay, so that a bad experience of fatherhood will inevitably lead to a bad experience of God as Father. But what we've seen is that rather than project our experience of fatherhood onto God, it is the Son who reveals the Father. And what does the Son reveal about the Father? He is a giving Father. In eternity, he gives to the Son. In history, he gives to the Son. It's the same characteristic, giving. See, when we think about the question, what is God like? He's not hidden from us. The Son reveals a giving Father. Now, we've yet to talk about one of the most wonderful applications of this truth. And that is, of course, that anyone and everyone who puts their trust in the Son are adopted as sons of this Father. And so for all those who trust the Son, this giving Father is not just the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, but he is our Father. And this comes as a wonderful encouragement for us to pray to our Father. Back in chapter 16:23, Jesus said, "In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." You see, if the Father was a cruel Father, you might expect Jesus to say, "In that day, run and hide." If the Father was an absent Father, you might expect Jesus to say, "Look, he's just really busy at the moment." But the Father is a giving Father. And so Jesus says, "Ask him." Well, you would, wouldn't you? Well, let's pray, and then there'll be some time for comments and questions. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for how your word helps us to know you as you really are. Thank you that it helps us to see that there's a very natural tendency for us to project our own experiences onto you and the problems that that can lead to, and it's basically idolatry. But we thank you that you sent your Son to reveal you as you really are, as the Father. And as a Father, you are characterized by generous giving to your Son. And we thank you for the astonishing truth that you would so love us that your Son would die for us in our place, that we could be adopted as sons, and so that the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, is our Father. And we thank you for the encouragement that is to pray and to know you as our generous giving Father. Amen. Well, Tom's back now, so you can ask lots of questions. Are they scarpered? So I might have to at least begin. Any comments or questions about what we've talked about? Yes, Sarah. Okay.
Sorry, that's not a question. But
okay. I'm a comment on that. It was such a joy to prepare this. You do think, you know, we were talking last week about that book, The Forgotten Father, by Thomas Smell, and saying actually how, to what extent the Christian church is, we've forgotten him. And you just think, why would we do that? That actually to know God as Father, and the Father who the Son reveals, is what a wonderful thing. So I'm glad. Anything else? Any implications or? What a helpful comment. Thanks for that. So everyone's listening to this, I can just repeat it. So Paul was observing that in a very isolated thought, we can think of, you know, God the giver as a sort of a slot machine. You know, put your prayer in and out comes whatever you want. But actually, the giving that's in mind here, so your example was one of the things that the Father gives to the Son is his work to do and laying down his life for his people. And so you think, it's not as simple as saying it just gives you, you know, that sort of slot machine God. Thank you.